Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Oh yeah, it is Independence Day.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
We got beers, we got baseball, we got brats. I know you do out there, so enjoy.
Someone does. We need to fire up the grill for those bots. Welcome to West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul.
Remember, email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get this party started. Hey, there's a lot of baseball going on. Looks like everybody's playing. Baseball got started on the West Coast, at least at like 8 a.m. today. So if you did not set your lineups, I'm sorry. It's probably happened to the best of us today, but it's all right. On that note, crack open a beer and let's get started. It feels good. It feels good to be alive. And it's baseball. And it's the fourth. You know what happened this day in 1939?
1939, July 4th? No, I do not know specifically what you're talking about.
I'll give you a hint.
Ah.
That's right.
Mr. Lou Gehrig.
Mr. Gehrig. 4th of July. I didn't realize it was on the 4th. That must have been a kind of a downer for everybody, but at the same time.
Emotional day and a day of celebration.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you should be happy just to have seen the guy play and, you know. But, yeah, that's, you know, there's a lot of history on the 4th for baseball.
Yes.
It's the kind of day that nobody really wants to be benched. Everybody wants to play, even if you're hurt, right? I mean, come on, it's the 4th. The fans are out. They're all pretty much all day games.
And the quintessential American holiday and the quintessential American sport.
This is the greatest day of the year, let's be honest. This and maybe opening day, right?
Yes.
This is certainly the most important. There were two pitchers that got their 3,000th strikeout on the 4th of July. Can you guess the first?
3,000 strikeouts on the 4th of July?
Well, not 3,000 on the 4th, but they're 3,000th on the 4th.
3,000th.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, I guess, but not
really.
Well, not really.
Not really.
This isn't cricket. All right.
Do they even call them strikeouts in cricket?
I don't know what the hell they call them in the cricket. Does anybody care? Nobody cares. I don't know. Nolan Ryan, first player to do that.
Fitting.
1980, when he was a part of the Astros against Cesar Geronimo. And the funny thing about Cesar, whatever you want to call him, Geronimo, is that he fell victim to two different pitchers' 3,000th strikeout, which is a ignoble award, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit dubious.
The first one was from Bob Gibson, who I think was the second ever member of the 3,000 club back in 1974. Yeah, pretty good. And then, so the other one is Phil Nierko in, was that, 1984? Yeah. Struck out Larry Parrish for his 3,000th. It's a pretty cool club to be in, especially.
It is. It's quite exclusive club, too.
Yeah.
Not very many people and probably fewer coming still.
You think so? Yeah.
The way that pitching is being handled these days in the league, yeah, I think so. There's strikeouts are up overall in the league this year. Pitchers just aren't pitching as much as they have in the past.
Yeah, that's
true. And be less opportunity to get that much strikeouts.
Yeah, that just that many innings alone is going to be pretty rare. nowadays. That is true.
3,000 strikeouts. 3,000 strikeouts represents, what is that, 1,000 innings?
Yeah.
Just by themselves, and no one strikes out the side every single time they're out.
Well, unless your name is Max Scherzer or maybe even Kershaw, or it used to be Darvish. You can't really say that anymore in terms of strikeout per nine inning, you know.
Right. Well, but no one, even with those good strikeouts per nine inning, no one has 27.
Well, right, that's true. Only three players have 20 in one game, and one of them did it twice. And I believe they were right. 10 years apart when Clemens did it. That's insane. That's yes. one of the craziest. I mean, to get 20 strikeouts in a game is
well,
obviously insane.
Some might say that he did have some chemical enhancement the second time around.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. So right now, I believe Felix Hernandez, I think, is leading all current players. I think, if this is correct here, with 2,427. In terms of... Well, no, that can't be right, because Sabathia is in there. Yeah, okay, sorry, here we go. CC is leading all of current Major League Baseball players with 2,912.
That's pretty good. Madison Bumgarner, local hero here, just recorded his 1,500th, so he's halfway there.
Yeah, yeah, he is sitting in 22nd place right now. Hey, just behind Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto's got 1531. Bumgarner's got 1512. Let's see who else. Scherzer, number 7, 2323. Kershaw's right behind him with 2185. But Greinke, Felix, Bartolo, and Verlander all higher than Scherzer and Kershaw. I mean, they're all older, so I guess that
right. More time in the league, more opportunities, yeah. More innings.
Yeah. Yeah, so but will we be seeing Johnny Cueto, speaking of, this weekend? Is he coming back?
That is the rumor. Apparently he is slated to start tomorrow, Thursday, July 5th.
Wow, okay. I'm not up on my Johnny Cueto news, so
that's
you're going to have
right.
to...
That's, I guess, my department.
That's your department. And what about Samardzija?
Samardzija is slated to start this Saturday.
Oof. Are you nervous about that? Or?
I'm not. I mean, it'll be if he comes back healthy and strong and pitches like he was pitching before he re-aggravated his shoulder, I mean, it'll be fine. It'll be the first time this year that the Giants have had a full, healthy rotation the way that it was expected to be at right. Season's beginning. Now that Bumgarner's back, Samardzija's coming back, Cueto's coming back, and Giants rotation looks pretty strong at this point.
Must be nice.
It is nice. Now if they can just beat the Rockies and keep pace with the Dodgers as they chase down the seemingly fading Diamondbacks at this point.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the Diamondbacks. Although they're not really fading. I mean, they're still putting up wins.
Maybe not fading so much as slowing down. They got off to a very hot start.
Right. I mean, they're 48-38 right now. Dodgers are a game and a half back. Giants are 3.5 back. It's all really close. I mean, Colorado, everybody's, you know, saying, oh, Colorado's out. They're only 4.5 back also, you know. The same thing with Colorado as with Arizona. Generally speaking, you would imagine that the laws of baseball averages are going to catch up to them on the pitching side, especially since Robbie Ray isn't his, 2017 self. And I think we were even talking about his hard contact rate was insanely high. His BABIP was insanely low last year, which led to a really nice ERA, nice strikeout per nine innings. But most people who looked at his stats could understand that he wasn't going to be able to sustain those numbers for even another year, and this year is proving that. Greinke's looking pretty good, though. He's not bad. I don't know. Corbin? Godley? I don't know. They're not, I'm not too worried about them. Especially.
No, and are we seeing evidence of the humidor at work?
Maybe.
I mean, Giants just had a series in Arizona.
They swept, right?
They did. They ended up sweeping the Diamondbacks. but there was a lot of hard hit balls that did not go as far as they seemed to have gone otherwise.
Maybe the Giants just had to start lifting weights.
As certainly a possibility, but you know, finding new articles about the humidor effect is very interesting. And I'm thinking that it's possible that installing a humidor in all major league parks might actually help the overall power numbers at AT&T Park.
You think so?
Well, because the relative humidity in San Francisco is higher than it is in, say, Colorado or Arizona. So storing the balls at a lower humidity could lighten up the balls and allow them to fly a little bit faster than they are right now.
That's interesting. I agree 100%. I think if you're going to have it for one club, you should have it for all clubs. They have, I mean, such specific rules on even the type of mud that needs to be dirtied up on the ball. Like the, I mean, everything needs to be exact, and yet the density levels of all these balls are completely different based on the park.
And in some parks, they're trying to overcompensate. How they're stored.
They're trying to undercompensate. Yeah, it should be uniform across the league, across baseball. It doesn't even make sense to me. But hey, what are you going to do? They're so worried about other things, pace of play and everything like that.
Pace of play.
And they forget about the big things, like the ball. We actually have a lot of crazy stats on the balls of a report that came out a couple weeks ago. But we did see a fine for pace of play.
We did. Brett Gardner of the New York Yankees was fined $2,000 for violating pace of play rules, not getting into the batter's box fast enough five or six times during April and May.
Well, yeah, no, he's been fined roughly $3,500 for six violations. But the fines aren't released. The exact fines aren't released. And I think Adam Jones also, he says he's been fined almost $50,000 or something like that. That's actually a direct quote, almost $50,000 or something like that. I don't know. So the rule was established this year, limiting the mound visits between inning breaks, and pitching changes were also sort of. But in 2015, I think, is when we started seeing these pace of play in the batter's box. You can't leave the batter's box once you're in, kind of thing, you know, which is fine, I guess. But it's funny because we didn't, I didn't hear about this until you brought it up. And I guess it's been happening a lot behind sort of closed doors. Guys are getting fined and nobody really talks about it.
Well, I
don't see it happen during the game. And I have Brett Gardner on my fantasy team, actually, and I haven't
It's not going to affect any fantasy stats whether or not he gets fined.
Well, but no, I mean, it might if he's getting pissed off, you know, and if I know he keeps getting fined, I might not keep starting him, man. Because first of all, I don't really start him that much anyway because he sucks this year. But, but you know, I don't know. Look, everything is important, right? When you're dealing with the mindset of a batter, especially.
That's true. Routine, they are very much rooted in the routines.
No detail is too insignificant. So I would like to at least know that. And so I guess, I mean, you did find the story. So it is out there, but it's nobody seems to talk about it. It is interesting. I don't know.
It is interesting. I think for the most part, unless it's repeated violations, it sounds like, you know, $3,500 for six violations. Right. That for the amount of money that these characters make, that's not a whole lot of money.
It is a lot of money, though. Come on, I mean,
it's a lot of money, but it's a lot of money to you or me. But if you're making $15 million a year, $2,000 here or there is not going to make that big a difference. And that's a couple per diems.
Yeah, Gardner has he's on the end of a 4-year, $52 million deal with a team option of 12.5. But yeah, but it's still, it's the principle. I mean, you can't just say, "Oh, you're rich. You could afford it. You're rich."
If you're gonna have a fine for a punishment, you have to make the punishment means something. And a $500 fine for someone making $2 million a year is not going to make a difference.
I don't think guys want to pay $500 or $5,000. I don't think they want to pay anything.
But finding someone who is $500 who makes only $2,000 a week, that's going to make a much bigger difference.
Right.
I mean, some of these guys...
But you still see people double parking and getting tickets every single day in this city.
I don't see too many people getting double parking tickets. I would love to see a lot more of that.
I see FedEx trucks get tickets on a regular basis.
But parking tickets in general in San Francisco, they're high, for sure.
Yeah.
But...
Because supposedly we're all rich, you see? You see what I'm saying? I'm not rich, just because I live here. In fact, I'm destitute, essentially, because all my money goes to rent and food.
If the only punishment for a quote-unquote crime is money, basically it means it's legal for the rich.
If you're willing to
pay for it, you can get away with it.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you can afford it, you know... What $500 to one person is like 5 cents to another.
Well, clearly it's not working because he's got six violations. So do you think they should be even higher? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If they're really serious about getting these people, these players,
$50,000
in the box faster so that they increase the pace of play, they need to find them something worthy of what would make a difference to them.
Yeah, well, I guess I just disagree on the whole concept in general. I don't like guys.
I disagree
fined.
On the whole concept too. But
you know
if you're going to
do
it,
see? You know, I do want to see the old fine, the old school fines, where if a pitcher gives up a hit on an 0-2 count, he gets fined $100.
Well, that's a team,
I like that.
That's
yeah,
a
no,
team
I know.
Fine.
I know.
Not, not
I know.
That. That's a team fine. That's not
exactly.
a league fine. This
right.
is coming from the league.
I know. I don't like these draconian, all-encompassing fines. From somebody up high, and they're all variable. I mean, it's just, sometimes it's 2,000, sometimes it's 1,200. Like, who's determining this? Can I get a set rule book? Let's just get rid of it. And yeah, let's bring back these other ones, like 0-2 counts. I like that. Or if you get, 25, 30 wins, you get $1 million bonus. I don't know. We're never going to see 30 wins again. But
I just rewatched Major League a few nights ago. The fine that was there is that every time you hit a ball in the air, you owe me 20 push-ups.
What? Where else are you supposed to hit it? Was that for Serrano?
No, for Serrano for Hayes.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Willie Mays Hayes, who's popping him up.
Well, nowadays, though, that's seen as a sign of a good hitter. Right, launch angle and getting under the ball, right? That's that whole deal is you're
only,
supposed to
only,
be elevating.
Only
the ball.
With the shift.
This isn't 1989 though. Yes.
Yes, it's not 1989 anymore. And and I was watching Giants Brendan Belt actually bunted away from the shift to get a base hit.
Good.
A few nights ago. Yeah,
good.
Absolutely. Good.
Good.
If they're going to give it to you,
take
it. What the
hell is supposed to do, you moron?
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Take it. Take the base, you know? It's like, it's like choking up, right? You got two strikes, you choke up. I mean, I know guys don't do that a lot anymore. Votto definitely does, and I do see some other guys do it. But yeah, I mean, your whole goal is to get on base, man. Like, just get on base. You know, and we talked about this last time, but, striking out used to be a really shameful thing, and now it's just like casual. Everybody's doing it, right? But it's still not good.
Everyone's doing it,
right? Just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean it's good. Anyway, to harp on this little fine thing for just another second, I mean, if Adam Jones says he's been fined $50,000, I mean, come on, man! Like, what's going on? You don't think
for how many violations though? $50,000. I mean, maybe he's doing this more often. If it's the same scale as Brett Garner's getting fined,
I don't think of like Adam Jones or I don't really watch Yankee games that often, but I used to watch more. I had Jonesy for a couple of years, and I don't, he doesn't seem like he's like taking his time. I don't know. It's that whole thing is so stupid. Oh, we're shaving seconds off the game, yet it takes the umpires 5.5 minutes to watch a video replay when everybody in the stadium and at home can tell you what's happened within 15 seconds, you know.
So,
the umpires should be fined if they can't get it under 2 minutes. They should be fined.
90 seconds. If you can't tell,
90 seconds. I like that.
Play
That's
stands.
Even better. That's even better. So, okay, and I don't really want to talk about Machado too much just because everybody else is, and I don't think we're going to add anything new to the conversation, but Machado, where's Machado going?
Rumors that I've read say that he's going to the Dodgers.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, doesn't make any sense for the Dodgers. I mean, okay, unless you're talking about just renting him for about 3 months and then letting somebody else pick up his real contract. If that's the case, then sure, like let's rent him.
But is he worth giving up top pitching prospects?
No. No, we, you know, Dodgers could give up maybe somebody like Alex Verdugo, who they really did not want to give up when we got Darvish last year, and they didn't have to, and they got Darvish anyway. Now, obviously, that didn't really work out very well, but, you know, it was a good deal at the time. But now, come on, I mean, you know, Verdugo, he's good, but I don't know. He's a 22-year-old outfielder. He's got pretty good power. He's got he's hitting .333 with a .495 slugging with 6 homers and 30 RBIs for AAA. He's a guy that a lot of teams want. So sure, yeah, maybe one pitching prospect, maybe Verdugo. I don't know. In terms of long term of the Dodgers, hell no. We don't need Machado. We need pitching. The Dodgers. Dodgers need pitching. I don't think they need Machado at all. But again, if you want to rent him, sure, right? Just until the postseason or through the postseason. So we don't have to platoon our shortstops. All right. But no, I think actually for Machado, the Diamondbacks look to be a better fit. Let's not forget last year, the Diamondbacks picking up JD halfway through the season. He ended up killing it for them, got them to the postseason. Of course, they got swept by the Dodgers. But, I mean, you know. They got there. Yeah, they got there. They get and not just wild card. Well, you know, yeah, wild card. But then still, I mean, they got there. If they get – they need another guy like that. You know, Goldschmidt's hitting unconsciously, and the rest of their batting is pretty good. Pollock just came back as well. So, I mean, that's a dangerous team. With Pollock and Goldschmidt hitting, that's dangerous. And then get Machado in the middle of that lineup.
It is. I'm not disagreeing with you at all that Machado is a good fit with the Diamondbacks, but everything that I've read shows the Dodgers and the Orioles are seriously trying
That's
to come
funny.
Up with a deal.
I don't know. I've got reading about the Brewers and Machado. I'm reading a lot about them, and that makes a lot of sense too, I think. But or even look the Indians. Wait, so you have reports from the Dodgers camp looking at Machado?
Well, I know that I've read that the Orioles are heavily scouting the Dodgers minor league system and very much interested in Class A pitcher Dustin May.
Hmm.
Do you know anything about him?
I do not. But, you know, look, Diamondbacks or even the Indians, okay? The Indians, their window of success is closing very rapidly, not unlike the Pirates like 40 years ago, right? If the Indians don't win at all this year, their title drought will now be 70 years. So they're looking, you know, they're feeling it. I wouldn't be surprised they pick him up,
right? Well, that would
but they don't need a shortstop, so I don't know.
That's, what about a third baseman?
Yeah, but I don't know. Ramirez, where's he? I guess Ramirez can play everywhere, so yeah, they throw Machado in. But does Machado want to play third? He doesn't.
I don't know. Well, would you pick up Machado for the 3 months and just have him be designated hitter?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Considering the defensive year that he's having at shortstop.
That's kind of Encarnacion's role, though, right now. I don't know. Or, you know, and we're not even talking about the Nationals. The Nationals take Machado. Again, I mean, Trey Turner can play second. That's not a problem, I guess, right? And plus, he's terrible at shortstop anyway. If I was a Nats fan, I'd want Trey Turner out of shortstop. Put Machado in there, right? They've actually been having Harper take ground balls at first base the last couple of weeks, just in case. Just in case. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm sure we're not going to see Harper at first anytime soon, but you never know. Because they do have a sort of a glut of outfielders with Michael A. Taylor. They got Adam Eaton back, of course. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm done with Machado. I don't really care about that guy anyway. How about Mike Moustakas, though? See, this to me is almost more interesting because Moustakas is only on that one-year deal. Royals are garbage. They need to start, I guess, rebuilding. Yeah, so Moustakas to the Cardinals. That's interesting.
That would shake things up in the NL Central.
Definitely would. And it would help out my fantasy team as well. I think getting him out of Powder Blue would be pretty good. You know, Colton Wong is batting 196. And Matt Carpenter could go to second base, get Wong out of there. Or, you know, maybe he can go to first base. I don't know. Moustakas to the Cardinals? It's not completely out of the question. If they're serious, and they're always kind of serious, right? I mean, the Cardinals, they have to be. But again, the Nats right now seem to be probably sweating the most.
Right, well, they started the season with the most expectations. Right now, just past midpoint in the season, they're sitting right at 500, 42 yeah. and 42.
Right. Everybody had Dodgers, Cubs, Nationals, right? And neither of those teams are in first right now. And we are at the halfway mark, actually just past the halfway mark here. I don't know, though. And honestly, if the Nationals can't even... If they make it to like that one-game playoff, they'll probably blow it because they don't seem to do too well in the postseason anyway. But I don't know. Can Philly? See, that's a huge question. Not just Atlanta. Atlanta's good. Philly's good, too. But can both of them sustain this? Can Freeman and Markakis sustain what they're doing? I mean, they're just out of control right now.
And they got a lot of young, hungry talent. They are ahead of schedule. I don't see why they can't sustain it. But they have a pretty sizable lead. I mean, Washington is sitting 7 games back of the Braves right now.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman is just lights out right now. He's insane. He already has 56 RBIs. He's hitting .309. Nick Markakis, he's leading, all of baseball in hits right now? He's hitting .326. He has 108 hits, 52 runs. He's got 10 home runs, 58 RBIs. I mean, Jesus.
He's killing it.
So, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, Nick Markakis, can he continue to do this for another 4 months? I don't know. I don't think so. But, hey.
Only time will tell. And it'll be these changes in the leads and the competition is ultimately good for the game.
That's
entertainment
true.
Value.
Yeah.
Get
oh,
more
great.
Fans involved later in the year. Keeps hope alive for teams that haven't had a lot of hope in the last few years.
Especially when it's kind of surprising like that. Like the Braves are a young crew, right? They're
expected to be better than last year, but still not.
But not
this
a contender,
good.
Right? Exactly. Right. Phillies as well. Phillies actually have pretty decent pitching. You know, hey, I don't know. It's possible. And honestly, you know, I don't know. The Nationals. I'm getting kind of sick of it. I do like seeing Scherzer do good because he's just insane. But Strasburg's out. Roark just got lit up yesterday. And what's up with Roark? I didn't even recognize that guy. I was watching that game. I was like, who the hell is this fat guy with the handlebar mustache? What happened to Roark? What happened to that guy? I guess I haven't seen him pitch all year. He looked fine in the World Baseball Classic. And right now, I'm just talking purely
physical
attributes.
Well, World Baseball Classic, you're talking a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I guess you're right. A lot can happen in 18 months. Yeah, no, he looks really weird, right? He kind of looks like Dirk Diggler 30 years after. It's really strange. And he's not pitching very well either, so what are you going to do? I don't know. Sorry, man, I didn't mean to. Well, I did, actually. That's okay. How about the Rays? The Rays and their opening pitching.
The Rays and their opening pitching. They had a good little run recently.
Not doing too bad.
they had a homestand against the Yankees, the Nationals, and what's the other team? Let's see.
The Marlins.
Was the Marlins?
Yeah. They had a 16-inning game against them.
Went 8-1, gave up only 14 runs. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Since May 19th, when they first began using Romo and others afterwards as the opener.
We got the lowest team ERA,
yeah,
right?
They racked up the best ERA, 2.87, and opponent batted average, .205, sorry. And opponent OBP, 282. In the entire game, in all the teams. It's pretty... I mean, it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, they definitely ups and downs.
Now, is this a function of the opener? Or is this a function of, like, the team actually come together and starting to click and the pitchers actually, like, throwing well?
I think you're right. I think it's less stress on the entire staff. It's, hey, what the hell? We'll see what happens. And, yeah, you start winning a few games, and then everybody starts playing a little bit better. You know, winning is contagious, right?
Yeah.
And there's not one guy that has to take the heat. So, yeah, for a team like that, now, it's obviously not going to work if you have actual pitching. If you have good starters, you're not going to do this. And this is the whole thing. This is what everybody's like, oh, well, yeah, if you had Max Scherzer, you wouldn't be doing this. Well, yeah, of course we wouldn't fucking be doing this if we had Max Scherzer. But they don't have Max Scherzer. So
not a whole lot of people have Max Scherzer.
Yeah, they're just doing it out of necessity, you know, and they're doing good because of it. It's, or at least, you know, not horribly. They should be doing a lot worse than they are. So, you know, Joe Maddon was quoted as saying, I don't think this will ever happen. He's talking about, too, like, the rest of teams in baseball. Because the ace is still going to be the most valuable player. He's still going to be the guy that's most sought after. Because if a guy can eat 7-8 innings, why wouldn't you use him? You know, you
right.
have no reason to use a committee every single game if you don't have to.
And this is true. But it's still a nice option to have. If you don't have, because not everyone has an ace, there's not a whole lot of guys that can consistently go more than 5 innings
nowadays,
on a start.
That is true, especially nowadays. I think the gap between the top pitcher, right? I believe
Madison Bumgarner.
Your guy. that gap is insane.
It is. Madison.
That's probably his most impressive stat, honestly. It probably is.
It is. What is it? 87 now consecutive starts.
So what's the stat? The stat is
most consecutive starts of 5+ innings, and Madison Bumgarner sits atop at 87 consecutive starts of 5 or more innings pitched.
That is a lot. That is a lot. That is very surprising.
The gap was Kyle Hendricks had 24 consecutive starts before he got hit out of the box. Two starts ago?
Yeah, he went 2.2 innings. Yeah, he got roughed up.
So he got roughed up, went out. His consecutive streak before that happened was 24.
Oh, so he had
he was number two on that list at 24.
Next to 87. Jesus.
Right? And so now the highest on the list is Arizona Diamondback Patrick Corbin at 20. also on the list is Brent Sutter, Max Scherzer, and Jose Urena.
Jose who?
Urena.
Oh, Urena from the Marlins.
I couldn't read my own notes. Urena for the Marlins, yeah.
That's a pretty crazy, pretty telling stat.
So not everyone has this guy who can go consistently and eat up those innings.
Yeah, because, I mean, even the best pitcher is going to have a rough outing every once in a while.
Yeah, unless your name is Madison Bumgarner, apparently.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. Mr. Consistent. He's not going to lead any stats in particular, but he's going to be the most consistent guy out there.
And that's spanning a couple years, because 85, no one, right. You know, the max starts in a single year is like 30.
35, yeah, 34. So, yeah. Wow. Well, speaking of Scherzer... And I know he's on that list, but he might as well not even be competing on that list. He just got his 1,000th strikeout in two different leagues.
And that's impressive.
It's some rare air. He's only the fifth pitcher in history to do so. Can you name one out of the other four?
I would say probably the aforementioned Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, that's right. That would be Nolan Ryan, of course. The other guys to do it, 1,000 strikeouts in both leagues, would be Cy Young, Jim Bunning, Randy Johnson. pretty good company up there.
I would say so. Yeah. I would say those are some pretty big names. Cy Young, I mean, there's like an award named after him, right?
Yes. Yes, there is. remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Drop a comment. Get on down here. If you're up in SF, look us up. Come on to the show. And I hope you're enjoying your fourth. Did that Red Sox game end? I'm sure it did. I'm sure the Red Sox won already. Who knows when you're going to be listening to this, so I'm not even going to go over that. But how about the Dodgers in the month of June? Setting the franchise home run record with 55 home runs, and then they had, what, six yesterday? I mean, they already have like 15 in July already.
They killed the Pirates the other day, 17-1. And yeah. Then the first pitch of the next game was a home run.
Yeah, and then the fifth pitch of that same game, home run. Jock Peterson and Max Muncy went back-to-back home runs.
Wow.
And then yesterday,
four pitches apart.
Yesterday, to lead off the game, Jocko hits a home run, first pitch, out. Max Muncy, second batter up, 3-0 count, hits it out. Wow. They go back-to-back 2 days in a row. Yeah,
how often does that happen?
It's happened twice in Dodger history. Or once,
one other time in Dodgers history. Yeah. Yeah.
It is pretty insane.
And the same two players.
Not yet. Well, no, not the same two players. To lead off. No, I'm talking about just to lead off a game. Surprisingly,
the
Dodgers don't have that many back to back leadoff home runs.
Well, I imagine that is a pretty rare occurrence anyway for any team, I would imagine.
Probably. I feel like I've seen the Rockies do it, though. I remember
the Rockies.
When Dexter Fowler was the leadoff man in Colorado, I don't know. Again, check me on this. Check the stats, but I swear I've seen him hit at least like three leadoff first pitch home runs. I mean, and so I don't know. I mean, maybe first pitch. I wonder if there's a first two pitches both back-to-back home runs, you know what I mean? Like, both guys get the same pitch. Although, I don't think the pitcher's going to throw a strike right down the middle after he gets the first guy.
Well, for a long time, someone hit a home run to, lead off like that, the next guy got plunked.
Right. Or the next time he's up, he gets plunked, yeah. Yeah, again, unwritten rules are fine with me. I like those, except for when, guys get their panties in a bunch. Speaking of panties in a bunch, how about the Mets?
Oh, the Mets. Oh, the poor, sad, sorry Mets.
Wow, what a great start they had.
Well, what a great start they had, and that's about all you can really say. The Mets this year became the fastest team in history to go from 10 games over 500 to 10 games below 500.
That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive. And their month of June, historic. Even when compared to one of the worst teams in MLB history, the 1962 New York Mets. In 1962, the Mets went 8-23 in the month of June. In 2018, the New York Mets
5-21.
5-21. Can they sustain this level of
ignobility?
Horridness?
Yeah. Yes. I think they can. I have faith in them. I think they can.
Easier for the Mets to sustain their level of play than it is for the Braves to maintain their level of play?
That's interesting. That's a good question. No, I think the Mets have the advantage there. Yeah.
And another great Mets history bungle. We just passed the Bobby Bonilla Day.
Ooh.
July 1st, Bobby Bonilla Day.
Raise a glass to Mr. Bonilla.
Taking one of the best deals possible, but recently learned through an article from
The Athletic
that he is not alone in these type of contracts.
Bruce Sutter
with getting paid by two franchises.
Yeah, Sutter's is pretty insane as well. Long story short, in total, so Sutter was basically supposed to just get $9.1 million, right? But then he deferred it 30 years later, and I think it's going to end in 2022. But basically, he'll earn upwards of $45 million for his 3 years as a
nice
terrible
work if
member.
You can get it.
Yeah, it is. So that actually is better than Bobby Bonilla's. But, you know, it's still Bobby Bonilla Day. All right, it's not Bruce Sutter Day. You know, what are you going to do? Because, yeah, Bruce Sutter was he was a closer. He was a relief pitcher, and he got paid. He had one of the highest salaries, $975,000 back in 1984. Anyway, check out the Athletic article by Dan Lewis. It's pretty fun. Bobby Bonilla Day. You got to raise a glass to that guy. I mean, come on. Again, he's, you know, it's okay. He's it's still his day. It's still what everybody thinks about. And Jason Wirth, gonzo. Jason Wirth has retired. He's officially hung him up. Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, he was a Dodger long time ago, but mainly I still think about the goddamn 2009 National League Championship game. what did he get? Three home runs? No, he got two home runs against the Dodgers, and I don't know.
Sticking it to his former team.
He probably was the best player out of the Utley, Howard trio, Rollins, you know, in terms of consistency and average. I mean, obviously, Ryan Howard made the biggest splashes, and Chase Utley was always, he was the best second baseman of his generation for about 5 years at least, but...
See, have Hall of Fame numbers? Is that a possibility
Utley?
For him?
Utley.
No, Worth.
Worth? No.
No?
No, no, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, I'm not, I should have just write him off just like that, but no, he has good numbers, but he doesn't have great numbers. You know, probably the most tragic thing about his numbers is that his RBI total was 799. One away. I almost would have came back each year of style. I just played like a couple weeks or something just to get that one extra RBI. No, he's a lifetime 267 guy, 229 home runs, you know.
Okay.
I mean, he's got an 816 OPS. It's not horrible. He's got a career war of 29, though. I mean, eh. I don't know. He stole home a few times. That was pretty cool. But again, yeah.
We had a home stealing incident just a week ago or so, I believe, down in Los Angeles.
What, Puig?
Puig.
Didn't really steal home. I mean, I guess he kind of did.
It was technically a steal at home against
the ball
the
was in play. I mean, well, I guess that's sort of stealing home. And he yeah, he was very excited.
He was very. It's an exciting play.
It was a great play. Yeah, I mean, you could smell the fear in that catcher's mind right there when Puig is coming barreling down toward home plate.
One thing about Puig, even though he is a Dodger, I really do love the fire and passion that he plays with, and he is very excited.
Very excited.
When he does something well.
As he should be. As they all should be. As all players, when they do something good, should be. And that's an unwritten rule that I don't like. Like, guys getting pissed when other guys are happy, you know, or kind of celebrating.
Kind of celebrating accomplishment on the field is totally different than, you know, rubbing someone's nose in it.
Right. And it's totally fine. And it should be encouraged, even. I mean, that would...
I think so. This is a game. It's supposed to be fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, have a little bit of fun on the field. It's okay. Now, if it goes too far, that's one thing. But just to celebrate a home run, say, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
That final strikeout, yeah, I did it. That walk-off hit, it's okay to celebrate. You just don't want it to go overboard.
Yeah.
And certainly... You know, having bench-clearing incidents, I'm looking at you, Sergio Romo.
Oh, God, on strike three of the ninth inning, it's like, come on. You know, or the third out, and then, like, the game's over. I don't even know if it was Romo. It was Michael A. Taylor.
It was the Nationals.
Yeah,
and Sergio Romo was closing out the game, not opening it.
Right. Which is rare nowadays, yeah. Yeah, and then Taylor, I think Taylor said something, and then Romo, who knows? It's stupid. Just leave. You're done. Go to the steakhouse. The game's over. You're finished. It's fine. It's, you know, like, what are you fighting for? Right. I don't know. No, I agree. I agree. Let him celebrate. Wow, I'm surprised. I like that you appreciate the energy that, you know.
Yeah, no, I've liked, as much as I don't like Puig because he is a Dodger, I do like Puig because I do recognize that he is a good player. And, you know, dang, I wish he was playing for a different team that, you know, mm-hmm. maybe
that's
wore
the
orange
yeah.
and black.
Yeah, everybody boos him unless, but you kind of wish he were
yeah,
on
your
team.
Yeah, you don't like Darth Vader unless he's on your team.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's nice to have guys like that blocking for you, right? Sometimes.
Indeed. Indeed.
A little dazed and confused. Anyway, so we got the All-Star Game coming up pretty soon here.
Oh, the All-Star Game, the Midsummer Classic. Game.
Now, you know, they're for obviously the Trouts of the world, those are no-brainers. But, well, I say the Trouts like there's more than one.
Yeah, there's no one quite like Mike Trout. Some might say that there hasn't been anyone like Mike Trout since Mickey Mantle?
Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe Willie Mays would be
sure.
more of a...
But that's but still... we're still talking about the same era. I mean, we're...
Yeah.
50s, 60s, it's a long time before we've had a player this good, this special. Mike Trout is pretty awesome.
It's true. A true five-tool.
He is a fourth to be reckoned with.
Well, I went to vote yesterday. I haven't voted yet, and so but I have now. You could do 5 times a day or something, up to 30 times. I don't know. But a weird thing on the National League was there was no Jesus Aguilar. He wasn't even on there. No Jesus
write-in
Aguilar?
Vote.
I mean, yeah, well, I had to write him in because, I mean, like, what the hell?
Yeah, the ballots are constructed weird. It has to do with the opening day rosters rather than
yes.
current...
Exactly.
Active players.
Exactly. So, I had to look that up. I had to look it up because I was
this,
it did
this,
not sit well with me.
This sort of made sense when the paper ballots were the way to vote, when you punched out the little holes
yeah.
that were...
Which you could still do if you go to the park, right?
I've gone to AT&T Park now twice since voting started. I could not find a single paper ballot.
AT&T Park, they're all digital and high-tech. Get out of there. Go to the Coliseum. I bet you'll find them there.
Maybe, maybe not.
The last time I did do a paper ballot was at the Coliseum, actually. That's terrible. Well, yeah, they got the hanging chads and everything, right? They still have the old school style. That's awful if they're not doing that anymore, because it's much better.
Yeah,
you could vote 30 times, sure, but it's nice to just vote once, you know, and
ballot. Yeah, but my point of bringing that out is that in this days of digital ballots... and everyone voting online, may as well make the list up to date as to who's actually playing, who's
right.
actually starting, regardless of whether or not they were on the opening day lineup.
Yeah, so I looked it up because a guy like Max Muncy also, who just hit his 20th home run. I mean, Muncy is fourth in the majors if he had enough plate appearances.
And he's not on the ballot.
With OPS. He's 1.024 OPS. It's insane. He has 20 home runs, and he's not on the ballot. Exactly. And so Jesus Aguilar is just 5 plate appearances shy of being eligible, I guess. Eligible, at least, of having the 5th highest OPS in the National League.
Well, I imagine...
He's got 13 doubles. 13 doubles and 19 home runs. It's insane.
It is insane, but I imagine this is why they have the managerial choice, where the manager of the team gets to
pick
a certain amount of...
How many do they get?
I don't know exactly how many they do get. Something like that.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. 5,
yeah.
I don't know what it is exactly, but this is one of the reasons why they do. It's like, I like to have this guy. And I like to have this guy and that pitcher.
Right. And now it's weird because when you do the write-in ballot, and I figured I'd write in Jesus Aguilar and then his name would just pop up and I could click it or something, but it didn't. So now I'm wondering, so what if people spell his name wrong or differently? You know, are the MLB All-Star execs at large going to be able to get all them in their algorithm and understand that somebody put an accent... over the U and somebody didn't, and somebody spelled Aguilar IU instead of UI. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is this going to be efficient, and he will have those five plate appearances before voting ends. So will he then be put on the ballot, and then will his counting, his retroactive stats, or his total be present and visible, or does he have to start at zero once he gets those five more plate appearances? I don't know. These mm-hmm. are all really weird questions, and again, a guy like that shouldn't even be a question. He should be on the list, because a lot of other guys, their stats aren't even remotely close.
Or they're not starting, or they're hurt, or something.
Yeah, because like, even like in the American League, Miguel Cabrera is still on there. And it's just like, well, he's done for the year. Like, he's not going to play. Yeah.
There's no way that he's going to be playing All-Star game. And he didn't even play long enough to be eligible.
Right.
If it's someone who doesn't have enough at-bats, it's a guy who is hurt. Yeah, Miggy's a great player and has been, but this year he's not playing.
Yeah,
but he was on the opening day roster, so he's on the ballot. It makes absolutely zero sense in this day of easy to update digital balloting,
real time. Yeah, a guy I'd like to see in there would be Ohtani. You know, I mean, even though I know he can't pitch, he can still hit. But his presence and
the
whole idea, the whole idea of him, I mean, he should be an all-star just for what he's done and just for the sort of life he's injected back into baseball and what he's done for international fans, you know. Another guy whose maybe numbers aren't going to, he's not going to be leading any categories, but a guy I'd like to see him there. So it's the American League shortstop position. This is getting interesting here, because the voting has Machado in a clear lead, and then it has Correa in second. Correa's not even playing right now. And then it has Lindor in third with under a million votes. But Lindor is far and away the best American League shortstop. Now, I know this is, you know, a popularity contest, but I was a bit surprised, because it's not like the Orioles have that many more fans than the Indians.
No, but Machado is a big name. He is an offensive force to be reckoned with, and Francisco Lindor is, well, in Cleveland.
Yeah, but he's in, you know, Baltimore. I mean, what's the difference? You know, I don't know.
East Coast versus East Coast. Midwest. All right. I mean, we're talking about Cleveland.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I know. I agree 100%.
It's been 70 years.
Okay. So Lindor is hitting .298 with a .581 slugging. Okay. Machado's hitting .310 with .564 slugging. Lindor, 23 home runs. Machado, 21 home runs. Pretty close. 55 RBIs to 59 RBIs. But Lindor has 73 runs. 73 runs already. It's insane. Machado is 41. And then Lindor also has 10 stolen bases. Machado surprisingly has 5 stolen bases. I was actually really surprised, because I don't think he had any last year. I think he had a total of 0 last year. So now, again, like, those guys are pretty close. I still think Lindor has the edge. But Lindor may not even make the team, and that just seems kind of crazy to me, especially when Correa is he's hitting .268 right now, you know?
Yeah. And the sad part is that Cleveland is sitting in first place in the AL Central with 3 games under 50 wins. And here Baltimore became, I guess, the first team to lose 50 before they got 20 wins.
The first team this year, or the first team?
The first team in a really long time,
yeah,
to do something that dubious. So, I mean, they're at 24 wins all season. So, Cleveland is also a much better team than Baltimore is this year. But Machado has the name. He gets the exposure. He's on the East Coast. He is doing very well offensively.
I get Machado, but why Correa? Why is Correa getting the
World Series?
The World Series? I mean, really?
World Series, yeah.
I mean, in that sense, Bregman has better numbers than Correa.
Absolutely.
He's actually third in terms of American League shortstops from Yahoo rankings. Bregman's hitting .277. Bregman has more home runs. He's hitting for a higher average. He has more stolen bases. He has more RBIs. He has more runs. He is literally leading every category more than Correa. So it's just popular. I mean, I know. Look, I don't know why I'm even going over this. It's
well,
I don't really care.
I just don't want to see
Lindor not make the team. I mean, he's clearly the best American League shortstop.
It is a popularity contest. It is an exposure contest, and one of the things about this style of boating, while it's fun for the fans, it doesn't make sense in terms of like who's actually worthy of being an all-star.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Some sort of electoral college system going for all-star voting.
Who's the American League manager?
The American League manager, that would be
Hinch.
Yeah, AJ Hinch, the manager of the Astros.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's always the managers of the previous of the World Series.
The pennant winners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about Bryce Harper? He's hitting .217. Now, if he makes the All-Star game, which he probably will, that would actually not be the lowest average of a guy entering the All-Star game. There's even a couple guys that are under the Mendoza line, if you can believe it.
Hmm.
Davey Lopes was hitting .169 in 1981. Reggie Jackson was hitting .199 in 81 also. Harmon Killebrew was hitting .204. Ozzie Smith .205. But how about Ted Williams was hitting .217. Teddy Ballgame.
.217. Hit that low?
At
I don't
the All-Star
it.
Break. Yeah.
Wow.
Still made the team. Yeah.
Wow.
So
Ted Williams.
Harper's, his awful batting average notwithstanding, it's not as bad as it could be, I guess. It's not unprecedented. Anyway. I don't know, man. This is a very...
It's a topsy-turvy world that we're living in.
How about Ivan Nova, the first Pirates pitcher ever to allow 5 home runs in a game against the Dodgers?
Ever.
For a Pirates pitcher. Ever.
That's impressive for first, a franchise that's been around for so long that the Pirates have been.
One pitcher for the Pirates that gave up 5. Yeah, he gave up 2 to Muncie. He gave up 1 to Jock, obviously. He gave up that Taylor shot, which was beautiful, and then that Grandal shot. This is all last night. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty bad. It's getting late.
It is getting late. It's time to go out and celebrate the 4th of July.
I have a lot of beer to drink. We got a lot of fires. We got a lot of stuff to blow up here.
Well, it's at this point, looking out the window here, looks like there's a possibility that we might actually be able to see some fireworks in the city of San Francisco.
It's a beautiful day. Tonight. Yeah, finally. It's been a couple of years,
That doesn't mean anything. By the time that sun sets and it gets dark, that fog might be right back in.
That's true. But 2 years ago was really bad. You couldn't even see anything. Last year was decent. Hopefully this year will be all right. Anyway, bottoms up to you. Raise a glass if you're not already. What are you doing? Drink for your country, okay? Be a patriot. We have last episode. Remind you? Please.
All right. Who is the only player to hit 30 home runs and 100 RBIs for 5 different teams?
Jesus. All right.
The only player.
I have an
There's
idea.
There's only been only one.
I have an idea. There's only one guy to do
There's
it.
There's only
in
one guy to do it.
I have an idea here.
And it's a pretty impressive feat.
All right. I'm going to go look at the emails here. We got... Tyler in Pacifica says Hanley Ramirez.
Thank you for playing, but no,
sorry,
he's not a bad guess.
Let's see, Boston.
Has he played for enough teams?
Tampa, Dodgers. Nah, I don't know. I don't think so. We got Jay in Riverside says Fred McGriff. Ooh, you see.
Fred McGriff.
That's
now,
not
Fred
a bad
McGriff
guess.
Is a really, That's really a good, guess. Good guess.
That's a really good guess.
And.
What?
He's not correct. But I'll tell you, he is not correct by only 8 RBIs.
Ooh, so
he did hit 30 plus home runs for 5 teams. He did hit 100 RBIs for four different teams. But when he was with Toronto, he only managed, I say only, 92 RBIs while hitting brutal. 36 home runs. So he that did not make 100-plus RBIs that year. So therefore, Fred McGriff is a very good guess, but ultimately incorrect.
That's brutal. That's almost as bad as the 899 RBIs of Jason Worth. All right. Now, so I was thinking, I had one guy in mind, and I was thinking, right, and I could just see that bat moving back forth just violently in the batter's box. Well, I'm thinking, you know who I'm thinking.
I do know who you're thinking. He was a Dodger. He was also a close personal friend of Barry Lamar Bonds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was the clue. I think of him in, weirdly enough, as a Florida Marlin more than anything.
He played
else.
For the Florida Marlins, the San Diego Padres, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Atlanta Braves, and the hapless New York Mets.
That be the chef?
Yes, Gary Sheffield.
Gary Sheffield.
Had 30 home runs.
Sounds about
right. And 100 RBIs for those five teams that I just mentioned. And that is an impressive feat.
That is a very impressive feat. And now Fred McGriff, I know, is listening to this. He's just like,
Fred McGriff is definitely one of our listeners.
He's a loyal listener. And I believe his Hall of Fame eligibility expires this next year. I think he has one more year of eligibility.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this and you have actually
you are a baseball
voting
writer of America.
Yes.
Yeah, remember that.
I know
season.
There's a few of you out there. Remember that he was a great player and has one of the best nicknames of all time.
The Crime Dog?
The Crime Dog, Fred McGriff.
Never forget that 1989 Toronto season where he led all of baseball with 36 home runs and only 92 RBIs. That's actually hard to do. Let me count them up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of over 100 RBIs. Pretty impressive. And as you said, well over 5 years of over 30 home runs. Anyway, Fred McGriff, this one's for you. Now, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. We have a trivia question for this week. Oh, actually, I have a trivia question for
you
this week.
You have it this week.
It's
you're
going to
be
one.
Giving, yeah.
So, Joe Maddon, last Saturday, pointed to the mound, and this was the Cubs were losing 11-2. So, he brought up Chris Jimenez to pitch. Now, and I believe it is Jimenez. I feel weird saying Jimenez and not Jimenez, but it is a G. And I've heard other people say Jimenez, so whatever. Who is the catcher? He is their catcher. He's a position player. He's not a pitcher. But this was the 10th outing of Chris Jimenez's pitching career, even though he is not a pitcher. Now, there is only one other player in history to pitch 10 times.
We're talking about a position player.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Position player to have pitched 10 times in the big leagues, excluding a player who has pitched 10 games in any season, right? So the Otanis of the world, blah, you know, there's a few other guys who were both. I mean, a handful, really.
So a position player who has
10
pitching
appearances without having 10 in one season. Yes.
Okay.
Now, so yes, Chris Jimenez is one. He just got his 10th. There was one other guy.
One other guy
in history.
Wow.
So email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com.
That is a good question.
It is a good question. This one's
like
hard
that.
To look up. Yeah. This one is not easy.
I like that, yeah.
This is a good one. It is surprising. It's kind of a surprising. That's my hint. It's not really a hint, but it is. I was very surprised. It's not. Might not be somebody that you think. But
we'll see if anyone out there, in addition to our email, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com, and the podcast website,
Podomatic website.
What did I say?
Podcast. Not Pop-O-Matic.
Okay. Yeah, Pod-O-Matic.
There you go.
Website. And you can also find us at Facebook at West Coast Bias Baseball. and drop us a note. Leave your guess for this great, great trivia question. And, you know, maybe there's a prize in there for you. If anyone, no one has correctly guessed any of our trivia questions so far. Have we
been too tough on these?
Are we too difficult?
I don't think so.
I mean, these are hard for a reason. It gets you thinking about baseball, looking up baseball. That's the whole point of this podcast, to talk about and think about baseball.
So drink a beer, have a brat, have a dog,
and
a steak today. Have a steak.
Have a steak and come into work on Thursday with as many digits on your hands as you left work on Tuesday with.
There's no shame in losing a couple, but just have some fun. Just have some fun today. On that note, I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. And remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
America.